This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
Anyway, this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. We're live today. You can actually text the show. We've missed you and your money, I'm told. So follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio and email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk. No, we have missed you. We, of course. What did I do last night, you ask me?
What did you do last night?
I went to the OVO Arena.
It's all gone a bit boiler, man.
Yeah, exactly. I went to the OVO. I don't even know what OVO is.
I do. They're my provider.
Are they? Of what?
Energy.
Oh, OK. I thought you meant ladies' products.
Look, do you know they give me a lot of energy?
Do they?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Me and my child... went to see Slash.
Not the guitarist.
Yes, the guitarist. We didn't just go to look at urine. That'd be the worst Friday night out I could imagine.
At an arena show as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So far back. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the screens.
It's no
worse than the snooker.
Is that what they say?
As long as you don't leave yellow on the bottom cushion.
It's disgusting.
So you started it.
Yeah. I didn't go on about the bottom cushion.
No, I know.
Okay. So anyway, meanwhile...
That was the clay version. It's usually brown.
Thanks.
Anyway.
Please.
Calm down, man. What's wrong with you? It was brilliant.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Slash's work. Anyone who isn't, he is the lead guitarist with Guns N' Roses. Roses.
Has he still got that lovely perm?
Well, I was thinking this when I was watching him, because he's got this shower of... this waterfall of hair, black hair, and a hat, and massive shades. Mm. And it was a big, you know... I don't know how many's at the OVO, but it was a lot. It was packed. Mm. And I thought, must be lovely, even in all this, you know, roaring and noise... must be lovely and cosy in there.
Oh.
Or you must think, I'm glad I'm in here on my own, in my little tent.
It's a phrase you don't often hear these days, but he's got a little man cave.
Yes.
On his head.
He's cosy, because he's got the brim of his top hat and his shades and his hair. And it's a bit like, he might as well go on in a mascot outfit. Because I was once the mascot at West Brom. I was a thrush.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was a giant thrush. The bird, before you ask.
Hard to depict in foam head form.
Did you have a beak?
What, a thrush? Yeah, of course I had a beak. I was thrush.
Calm down. Calm down.
Yeah.
I had a beak. I don't know how much effort these people make.
Oh, no, it's very... you'd recognise it as a thrush. It had, like, the spotted chest.
What were your feet like?
They were large, yellow, claw-like things. Actually, I think I had football boots. I had, like, sort of mock football boots on.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for me, my mind. But it's like that. I felt very safe. No one knew it was me inside. Obviously, they know it's Slash inside his shelter. His Slash shelter.
What do you think he looks like on the inside, or is it just Slashes all the way down, if you see what I mean?
Oh,
if you were to remove the hat and the hair and the glasses, it would just be the same but smaller.
No,
what, like a babushka doll?
Yes.
No, I don't think he works like... he's a human being.
Well, we don't know.
Frank? Is it a wig attached to the hat?
No. No.
Does it come off when you lift the top?
Funnily enough, Boz has got a Slash hat, which is a hat with the wig.
Because at this stage in the game, if I was Slash... don't go to all that effort. Just attach the hair to the wig with the shades. Have it all in one.
Like
it's
a
triumvirate outfit.
Like a judge's wig.
Yeah.
Whip it off.
Yeah, but I did think how nice. Because when I had that on, I must have told you this before. People want photos when you're the mascot. So I was put my wing around people's shoulders. For photos. And for the first 20 photos, I was grinning like a fool. And then I thought, there's no need for this. So I just stood stony-faced while I had photos taken with people. It was lovely.
Did that feel controversial, even though
you
were invisible?
No, it felt good. It felt like Slash. I had my own little private... I mean, for all we know, he could be winking furiously at the front row. He might have his eyes... You think I'm having my eyes shut for this one? Oh, no. I mean, the freedom.
Yeah.
It's really... I respected and envied him. Pierre actually played air guitar to the last track that we played.
I spotted that, but we're talking about Slash, so we can...
Yeah, well, I played air guitar a lot last night at the Over.
Did you play air guitar at the Over?
The Over, I don't see much air guitar at rock. When I used to go to rock gigs phase one, when I went because I was just mad about rock music, not because my 11-year-old was mad about it, I played air guitar all the time, and so did every other man in the audience. I don't know, and I know this is a thin ice, I don't know if I've ever seen a woman play air guitar.
Did it look to the actual guitarist like an enormous invisible orchestra?
Maybe. Eric Clapton, I interviewed Eric Clapton, I asked him if he ever played air guitar, and he said, "Why would I? I play normal guitar." And I said, "You just don't get it, do you, Eric?"
Was that the same dinner when you started?
No, this was on
Layla.
Telly.
Okay.
No, not when I hummed Layla.
You know he did that.
Yes, and he was upset.
Well, he wasn't, but I come back from the toilet going to myself, and he said, "Don't do that."
No, he doesn't like air guitar, he doesn't like humming.
No.
What do you like, Eric?
Just the real guitar.
Yeah, real stuff. That's the trouble with the modern world. Any belief in the unseen has almost gone. Air guitar's one of the last vestiges.
Do you have one of those blow-up guitars? I find those a bit tragic.
No, I stick with air. I mean, that obvious is an air guitar, but it's been encased
in plastic.
It's a preserved air guitar.
Keeping it for best.
Exactly. I don't want my air guitar to get all dirty. I'm going to put it in an inflatable cover. Oh, man. Can I just say, I adjust both volume and tone on my air guitar.
Oh, wow.
And okay. And do pedals, and nod to roadies and point to my ear that it needs cranking up a bit. I absolutely love it. But he did a solo last night, Slash. I am not kidding you. It's the greatest guitar solo live I've ever heard. And it felt like 3 weeks. But I don't mean in a bad way. I just... fell into, I swam in it. Mm. All the thing about being sacked from the radio show, getting old.
Wow.
The impending death.
Did you see that coming?
Presenting the Brits, that thing on my foot. That barmaid in Wigan in 98. It's all that. None of it mattered. I felt like I'd been cleansed by this solo, and then it went on even further. It was a beautiful experience. I came out of it refreshed,
shriven.
More than that, it was holy. It was a holy guitar solo.
All right, Batman.
Yeah. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. I was discussing seeing Slash. There was one of the. A moment which I think you'll like this, Emily, in particular, but a moment that one would not expect, I certainly didn't expect it, is that the lead vocalist, Miles... Oh, I feel bad now. I can't remember his surname.
Okay.
Anyway.
Jump.
No, but he's brilliant. As Buzz said, he's got great pipes, hasn't he? I'll look it up in a minute. But he was brilliant. But anyway, he's very Kevin Bacon-ish.
Okay.
And he said, right, you know when you hold your phones up with the light on for the slow songs and stuff like that? He said, right, I want to do a song. It's about, he said, if you've got a pet, like a furry pet of any kind, get a picture up on the phone and hold it up. So me and Boss was holding up pictures of our dog. Miles Kennedy's name is...
Can I say that's the most adorable thing I've ever heard?
But that's a slash gig. It was kind of incredible.
And there was there one person sort of down the front who thought, well, I've got an iguana, so...
No, it's, he
I
said...
He's,
well, he said furry. He said preferably furry.
Okay, so he didn't exclude the various snake owners in the room.
No.
I think a lot of metal concerts have quite a few people with pet snakes in the audience.
I think they have, yeah.
But they like reptiles.
Do you have, like, 500 photos of your snake on the phone as opposed to your dog or cat or rabbit or whatever?
Well, I sort of look at how cute he is sleeping, and it's just a coiled serpent.
Yeah. Also, there's probably people there that had the discarded skins of their pets.
They're not very expressive snakes, though.
I mean snake. I'm talking about snake. Expressive now. There's a lot of tongue action. That's mainly...
They're not very demonstrative, I find.
No.
But I wasn't expecting that at a slash gig. Hold up pictures of your pets.
Yeah.
But we did it loyally. I tend to do what I'm told.
Yeah.
At gigs. And the final surprise of the night was that the solo, the encore, featured Rocket Man.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'd completely forgotten that bit that goes, Rocket Man. I still don't know what that bit is. We've talked about this before, and I refused to look it up. So I was singing, the whole crowd was singing it, and when it got to that bit, I instinctively went, even though Elton wasn't there. Anyway, it was a brilliant gig. If you get a chance to see...
Oh, that's why you were singing I Miss My Wife when you came in this morning.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Exactly. So,
that's how you learn that Mars ain't no place to raise a kid.
No.
Is that what he says?
Cold as hell.
That's what he says, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't approve of the swearing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, but when you're up there on your own... You know, who's monitoring the swear box?
Frank, which came first, Space Oddity or Rocket Man? Someone copied someone's homework, that's all I'm saying.
It's a very good, I think.
Our readers will know.
Yeah. I mean, what would your guess be?
I would always go David Bowie first, only because I just think he's such an innovator, but I may be wrong.
I think it might be Elton first. Okay. What do you think, Pierre?
I go Bowie.
Readers, tell us.
Pierre is...
Readers...
Pierre not being able to look this up, I can actually see veins in the side of his head rising up and down.
He's in
horror.
Physical pain.
Grinding my molars to powder.
The second I press this button, he'll be on that phone like a Jack Russell on a runaway rat. Frank Skinner on Absolute
Radio. Frank, we have some clarification.
I thought we might.
A question posed earlier by me, which was, who copied whose homework?
We don't know anyone copied anyone, but what came first?
I'm just, I'm just being playful,
I know.
But which came first, Space Oddity?
You know what Elton's like.
Well, this is true. This is true. Space Oddity or Rocket Man? Similar themes, I was just interested.
Well, none of us were sure, interestingly. I guessed Rocket Man and you two guessed Space Oddity.
The answer is, Jeff Featherstone says Space Oddity, 1969, Rocket Man, 1972.
Oh, well, he was well in early.
Full 3 years.
Okay.
Boy, was I wrong. I should say, I've had a lovely package from Tash Skinner. Do you remember Tash? She is the brains behind Radish Soap, who've sent us a lot of lovely soap over the years. Ah, the free
hint,
gifts.
Hint.
Yeah.
And she sent us specifically titled and mixed and manufactured soaps for each of us. Pierre, what's your soap called?
Mine says Piano Billy's Shower Buddy.
Oh, nice. Piano Billy, you may remember, was based on a mishearing that when... Pierre's my support act at the moment. When he was announced by himself, I should say, as Bienville. But people thought, one of the people thought it was...
A lady in the crowd thought I was introducing Piano Billy.
Yeah. So Piano Billy, the Wild West Saloon pianist, was going to come on. So, yeah, what's yours, sir?
I've got While the Gentleman Smokes Cigars.
Very nice.
With an illustration of a fan, which is when I do my Southern Belle.
Oh, good. Yeah. While the Gentleman Smokes Cigars.
I'll leave that business to you.
And I've got On Your Bike and Lavender, which I think is a reference to my dismissal.
Oh, no.
I think it's said with love.
Okay.
And indeed lavender for the elderly. Yeah. I should say, on the subject of leaving, this is our last ever show at Golden Square.
Yes.
Which is the building we've been in for 15 years.
Yeah.
Not as emotional as it might have been, I'll be honest with you. I think when you go into Australia, you don't think, oh, no, I'm going to have to leave my cabin. But... yeah, I think they should have... Can we actually move? Right? The Absolute Kingdom of all its stations, I suppose the Kingdom of Bow is moving to quite luxurious.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do get... How many weeks in the luxurious?
Five.
We get 5 weeks. Called The Lantern, the new place.
It's very Succession.
Yeah, it is. It is lovely.
Lovely.
But we get 5 weeks, which is a bit like the old bullseye ending when if you didn't win the speedboat, they'd show it to you anyway. Let's see what you would have won.
It's like you go home with 3 darts and a tankard.
Yeah, exactly. We are going home with 3 darts and a tankard. And like 20 quid in intentionally nuts.
They didn't believe they'd received the money, so they had to show them the cash.
It was like Prince Harry's wedding when he had 3 ex-girlfriends invited. Let's see what you would want. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Yes, so the last ever Golden Square today. Mm-hmm. They should have left me here. Like, you know those old blokes who won't move and they have to build the motorway around their house?
Yeah. Yes.
What if I just keep coming into these studios and nobody knows?
There's some sort of regulation that as long as you stayed on air live, they couldn't come in.
Oh, wow.
And you just have to keep
broadcasting.
We had
to do this real marathon with me with a big beard still talking nonsense. Yeah.
Surrounded by takeaway boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, people, like kind well-wishers, putting lemon meringue pie up on a drone outside the window.
You'll be like one of those businessmen who doesn't want to tell his wife he's lost his job.
Yeah, like Michael Douglas in, was it Falling Down?
Yeah. Falling Down,
Full
yeah.
Monty, I believe, as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll keep going in. You'll say to Kath every Saturday, bye.
Radio show. Go sit in Golden Square and broadcast to the pigeons.
So I've got to go and be trained how to operate the desk at the Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
We got a message from Richie Ridge who says, regarding the move to the Lantern, it used to be NHS offices before its recent overhaul.
Yeah. Oh, got it. Okay.
He says, having sweltered in there with broken aircon and broken loos, it definitely wasn't the swanky space you'll be enjoying.
Oh. Yeah, well, we won't have the Lantern for long. Soon we'll be plunged into endless darkness. No, it is a very nice place. Yes. They've got a proper coffee bar and... I think we share it. There's other people. It's like fashion
magazines.
Label. Men reading fashion magazines.
So that's nice to know there's a nice coffee machine. I love hearing how great my ex looks when he's just dumped me.
No, but it's nice.
We're pleased for them.
It's like Succession in that they have a big atrium and lots of those little gates that you scan through, very corporate. And I look forward to... It's quite cinematic. You see in a lot of TV dramas and movies, the guy trying to scan into the office, but it's not working. What's happening? I'm afraid there's been some news. We found out what you've been up to.
A man in a suit comes down to tell him
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I'm glad we get a few weeks there.
Okay.
Luxurious.
It is.
If I can get in that stationary cupboard. Oh, don't forget, by the way, this morning's texting. In cafes and restaurants, at what age do you stop being automatically given a drinking straw with soft drinks? 8, 12, 15. No, I went out with Boz yesterday for lunch and we both had similar drinks and he got a straw and I didn't. I thought, when is that decision, Mike? And also, when do I get to the point where they think, maybe back to the straw for that guy, that drooling guy. What is a straw? What's it for? Is the idea that it's drinking from a glass?
Straws are becoming phased out, aren't they?
No. Not paper ones.
I think
paper ones are disgusting.
They get so soggy.
It's like trying to drink through a book.
The only place you see them often is...
I think I did that in the 80s.
You get them on fashion shoots a lot.
Oh, because the lipstick.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to ruin your look. And you get them backstage a lot of the time. You see them at award ceremonies and things. The ladies do like a straw.
But are they based on the idea that drinking out of a glass is not as easy as it looks?
Mm.
Is that why it's given to children? They might not be able to manage.
Or they sort of tip it all over themselves or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
He's 11, my son. He's still getting a straw.
Yeah,
it's a slap in the face for him.
I got a straw the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Wow, I wouldn't give you a straw.
You better not.
God, Mr. January on the firefighter's calendar. Wow, that was brave.
Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
On the internet front, I'm giving the editor a chance to get in nice and easy off that thing.
Uh-huh.
On the internet front, I'm on the West Bromwich Albion news site. So all the latest West Brom news comes in. And you get adverts on it. Obvs.
Yeah.
And I've started getting a lot of quite raunchy ladies' underwear ads and a lot of ads for pro Donald Trump T-shirts. Now, what does it mean? What does that mean?
What have your searches been?
Well, I haven't searched either of those things.
Since you got the MAGA cap.
Since you were standing near your phone saying, gosh, the only thing I love more than Trump is lingerie.
Yeah.
Your phone heard.
One of the T-shirts says, yeah, if you want to make something, if you want to make everything electric, let's start with that wall around Mexico or something like that. And I thought,
this is an odd...
I don't even want this on my phone.
No.
It's an odd sentence, that, as well. If you want to make everything electric. What? When did I say that?
Well, yeah.
Everything electric? What do you mean?
I think it means to get rid of, you know, fossil thing, fuels.
Oh, right.
Look, don't make me defend this.
Yeah. You seem
and
to
as
know
for the women's underwear,
it.
I thought it looked very shoddy.
Maybe it was from the same company.
But what's that? Is it just it's a football site and so this is the sort of thing football fans like?
Often, as I understand it, a company would just approach a website and say, can we just put whatever ads we want?
I'll tell you what, the underwear is Etsy.
Oh, then it's homemade.
Oh, no.
Homemade
underwear.
Yeah.
It's
knitted.
Knitted pants.
No. Pierre, you're making it sound like it's put together with sort of safety pins and masking tape.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a very lovely, it's arts and crafts.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's often sustainable. Sustainable
erotic. It looks stainable. I'll say that.
People can look at lingerie and say, well, this isn't sustainable.
It wasn't all. I mean, some of it was lingerie, some of it was swimwear. Yeah.
Frank, do you know the worst underwear I've ever seen?
Go on, I'd love to hear this.
Okay.
8, 12, 15.
No, maybe not.
It was in a vending machine in Blackpool.
What?
Wow. I was certain you were going to say Osaka. And then it became Blackpool.
In Blackpool. And I was there with some friends and I said, good heavens, I did say good heavens.
I hope you do.
Yeah. They said, what do you mean? I said, look at that vending machine. And it had eggs in it.
Right.
A little like the sort of Kinder eggs.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Kinder Surprise.
Yes, and wow, this was a surprise if you wanted something nice. It was, half of the egg was green, half of it was transparent. At standard Kinder setup. And I had to get one. I was so desperate to know. And it had a big sign saying sort of underwear station.
So is it was like if you needed clean underwear in an emergency?
Well, that's what I would think. I thought maybe like a white sloggy brief or something you might get.
Yeah.
But au contraire.
But it was scant.
The egg hatched.
Yeah.
I opened it. It was a teddy. A nylon teddy. Are you familiar with it? Like an all-in-one, ladies.
Oh, God, that's quite big for an egg.
What?
Who'd have known? But it was such thin fabric that it could fit inside the egg.
That's one of those. It's like when you get the tent out of that circular thing. You'll never get that back in the egg.
What's a teddy?
Teddy is a bit like...
Over to you, Frank.
Yeah, it's a... It's
our lingerie
like,
correspondent.
It's like a flimsy sort of see-through-ish sometimes swimsuit. With like...
like a one-piece.
Poppers
thing.
On the bottom.
100%. Like a body. Are you familiar with a body?
Poppers on the bottom, by the way, is the name of my memoir. It's about my time on the gay scene in Manchester in the 80s.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
I tell you what I have never tried is the... chewing domes that you get in vending machines if you don't have a toothbrush.
Oh.
Yes.
They're like little plastic, not domes, globes.
Globes, yeah.
And you chew, they look like really hard...
sort of tentacly things, like a big rubber brush.
Like they look more like Meccano,
yes.
If you remember that. But I've never tried it, but... I will. I'd like to go out for a night in a vending machine teddy with my mouth freshened by one of the Meccano toothpaste globes.
You could have a whole a themed party.
Yeah, I could have strong coffee from a can.
Yes.
And I don't... yeah.
And just bristling with phone charges.
Have we heard from Alfresco Mons?
Well, yeah, we have. 201... Hi, Frank. I love the show, but I thought I read you'd been fired.
Yes. that's correct. But there's a delay on the release.
Notice period.
I love the way they've broken the news. You've been fired. Yeah,
fair enough. I think that's a reasonable summary.
And we also have 322. When George W. Bush took over the White House, the previous administration... removed all the W keys from every keyboard. Do you think they did that?
I have heard they did that as a sort of prank.
Yeah,
because he's George W. Bush.
Oh, I see.
He was W.
Yeah.
That's what distinguished him from his dad.
And the thing about you phone the speaking clock in Tokyo and leave the phone off the hook and charge, the company has to pay for that call.
Oh.
Is that a great...
But is there still a speaking clock? Does that still...
8:12:15.
It's just a voice that says, "Figure it out."
No, but is it still the time sponsored by Accurist? Is that still
happening? And there was that man who sounded...
Oh, they got a sponsor. Time got a sponsor, and we can't get a sponsor. What does time do? It just exists. No jokes, no music.
What else has a sponsor?
Or does it?
The ocean? All these things can get sponsors.
Yeah. I mean, but that's ridiculous that time can get one and we can't.
I would love it if that was sort of bled into everyday conversation. Sorry, excuse me, do you have the time sponsored by Accurist?
Yeah.
Just as you ask
you
before.
Have to,
it could happen.
Do you remember the man
kind of
who did it?
By Accurist, do you call this?
I speak casually about the Ovo Arena.
It's true.
But yeah,
and the Caribou Cop and all
I've
those
I've just
things.
Mentioned the vending machine in Blackpool that sells underwear.
Yeah,
surely
not...
they've got some money to throw our way.
We don't know who...
Soiled coins.
We don't know who operates that, but it's probably the Mafia.
National
you
Trust.
Know what?
Mafia
money's,
or the National
money.
Trust, it's that old toss of a coin.
Do you remember the man who used to read the Time? He was a very... Whenever I had... I couldn't ring the Time for that reason because it so sounded like one of my parents' friends in Doctor Who. Do you remember how actuary? At the third stroke? All right, mate.
Yeah.
Calm
he
down,
obviously
you're not
thought,
Hamlet.
Thought I'm going to get discovered here.
The Time is sponsored by Accurist.
He thought Peter Brook's going to want to know the Time and hear this and say, who is this guy? Yeah.
Have you heard the Time?
Yeah. Previous the credits time. Include Troilus and Cressida and
the Time.
As himself.
Oh, it's like being the Ring, voice of the Ring. Anthony Howard, I believe, was the voice of the Ring. Oh. Very fine Shakespearean actor. Well, I saw him both the second and the third. What? But as the Ring, he went...
Oh, I can't.
Who is this? Time. Frank Skinner
on Absolute Radio. No big drinks.
No, oh God, I seen a lot of big pints last night at the Slash gig.
Pints are so big,
pints
aren't
are
they?
Ridiculous. I only if I want to carry. No wonder people drink them. You don't carry it around for very long.
I mean, you wouldn't have a pint
carry
of
on
any
your
other
fat
drink.
Got maybe.
Right, fine.
Anyway,
you wouldn't have a pint of any other drink.
Yeah.
Well, you say that.
Oh.
You haven't dined with Piano Billy here.
Yeah.
What is Piano Billy like?
Pints of any Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Really?
Pints of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He likes a Diet Coke.
And lingerie.
it's him. He's directly contacting me.
He is. He's got the best bras.
Terrible fabric, though. Terrible fabric.
Terrible legs. Filled with
I like
little pants.
Over. I like when it's over, I spell it OVA. Okay, so.
Okay.
I don't think he's ever done any spelling. He has
people for spelling.
Yeah.
Anna Banana sends us a tweet that says, any good April Fool's pranks this year? My friend and loyal reader tried to get me this year by saying she'd seen Emily and Ray in our local park in York. Quote, looks like they're setting up for a podcast. And then something about Dame Judi Dench and an Alsatian.
Oh, I love that April Fool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. We were in York recently, me and Pierre.
Were you?
Yeah.
Did you not do one of your famous April Fools? Right?
No, I didn't.
Because
do
previous
one.
Years, just FYI, our readers will be familiar with these absolute classics.
Yes, I am. I didn't. I was away this week. Au Paris.
Oh.
But Frank has done in the past. His back catalogue includes.
Well, my most. Shocking and unsuccessful one was when I told my partner that I was going to do a TV show with Gok Wan in which I wore avant-garde outfits, walked around northern towns and cities with him, and we noted the responses of the locals.
And she said...
And it was called, Why Are You Wearing That? And she said, you're not the person I thought you were. I feel like I might have to split up with you. So that one was a mistake.
Normally when a prank backfires, it's that, you know, the wrong person got hit with the custard pie.
Yeah, exactly.
I still think, why are you wearing that, was a better April Fool than you shouting downstairs, the toilet's broken. The toilet seat's broken. And also you had... Somebody stolen the car.
Yes, that was... my son did a great one with... when I scratched my car. I just touched this barrier. This terrible narrow road in...
not far from me.
Yeah, terrible narrow road, which I tried to avoid. And I just touched, just with the sort of rubber, I thought...
Is it the bollards, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And then Buzz said to me, have you seen the car? And it got a massive, great scratch on me. And, oh, man, it was, I thought, oh, how much is that going to cost? And then it was a sticker from the Beano that he put on it.
I think I had one of those back in the day.
A sticker of a scratch?
Yeah.
Not yeah, obviously, if it, had been, Nasher, I wouldn't have thought,
scratch looks just like Nasher.
That's unusual, the way that's come out. Of course it was a sticker of a scratch.
It's the Jackson's Lane bollards.
What do you think of one of these people who sees, like, Jesus in a gatto?
The very idea.
You have been in Paris.
In fact,
it's changed you.
I remember. I'll tell you what, they had Mickey...
Oh, it's gattos now.
Oh, monsieur. Okay.
Well, they had cake at they had cake at breakfast with the Mickey Mouse head on it.
Okay.
On it?
Did you get what I got?
In it.
You see, it's changed these days, Disneyland. Not back in the day when I was there and they had the cendrier. The ashtray, Mickey Mouse ashtray.
Well, I had
in
a great
bedroom.
I had
in
a great
France.
Really?
Yes, in Disneyland Paris, they had a Mickey Mouse ashtray.
That's fantastic.
Le cendrier pour les enfants.
Well, we were talking to a person who worked there, who we got to.
Was he called Michael Mouse?
No, he was a Frenchman called Fabrice.
Michel Souris. Okay.
And Fabrice was talking about something, and I said, oh, yeah, I did a gig there. And Kat said, yeah, he's a Frank's a comedian. Yeah. And he said, yes, I know, Mickey Mouse recognised him. What? What are you doing? Frank Skinner. So, yes, I was at Euro Disney, Disneyland Paris, whatever it's currently called, last week.
Yeah.
I stayed in the Spider-Man suite. Yes, I bought the slippers home.
I can't quite marry that combination of fanciness and Frenchness with Spider-Man. No. Monsieur, we have for you the Spider-Man suite. Only the best.
Yeah. Oh, God, the Avengers logo on the soap. And a big, like, picture of... behind the bed, a picture, like, above your headboard, a big picture of Spider-Man swinging above the Daily Bugle building.
Yeah.
And you could... There was a light on it, so you could backlight it.
So, you know, I mean, I struggle, Frank. With,
yeah.
You know, that's one of my problems I have is a themed bedroom.
Really?
Any themed hotel, yeah. I actually can't bear it. Like, it's chocolate themed. It's like, stay out of my luxury.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? I see. I was so happy in the Spider-Man
suite.
Really? Yeah.
But red and blue.
Well, the last time we went, which is a long time ago, was the Tinkerbell suite.
I can live with that. Tinkerbell, I can go, but red and blue and net.
Were there
it's
a lot
not
of,
my idea of luxury. Was there netting?
Was there cobwebs in the corners and things?
Yeah, no, that's my bedroom. that's mine's slightly spider-themed. No, what this guy actually said to me, what about this? You know when people said there's a lot to unpack in that sentence?
Yes.
When he said I was recognised by...
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. He said, Mickey Mouse recognised him. She said he was a big English comedian. And I thought, no, she? So she was an English, I don't want any kids listening, put your fingers in your ears, but she was an English lady.
Inside?
In the mouse.
Oh, so he shouldn't have revealed that, really.
No, but he, you know. We got a bit casual.
You don't get that in LA. The French, you know, much more honest about these things.
Yeah, but
of
it's
course
very,
it is all lies.
Very good mouse.
I believe in telling children the truth.
But it was interesting. As I left the Mickey Mouse photo opportunity, Mickey shook my hands with tremendous gusto, and I never quite understood why.
Oh,
and only later.
Why.
Yeah.
Oh, she was a bit of a fan.
You thought Mickey was a bit over familiar.
Yeah.
Does Mickey
kissed my sister-in-law.
Really?
It's great because we're taking photos, obviously, because the kids was with Mickey and stuff. And she's got a picture when Mickey really close to the camera, really terrified, right in Mickey's. Oh man, it's just the face of Mickey.
It's the unchanging.
I love Mickey Mouse. I know people are against the Disney thing, but Mickey Mouse. I mean, years to struggle off that vermin label.
It was a brilliant rebrand.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Now, did you see Pete?
No, Pete wasn't there. I didn't see Pete.
He's not called for
Can
anymore.
I just tell, as no. we've I haven't got long left yeah. on this
show.
Yeah. that's what I was going to say. I couldn't tell. It's a story I've told before. I'll tell it very quickly. Yeah. The story about someone I knew was working with Ry Cooder, the musician. And Ry Cooder's agent came in and said, you've had $1 million offer to play at Disneyland Paris. And Ry Cooder said, I don't twang for the mouse. It really is rather special. Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio. Did you see, asks Ruth Jordan, the story this week about Lulu not speaking before noon?
Yes, I did see that.
What was her reason?
She doesn't get up till one.
Ruth says, does anyone on the team think they could manage to do this? Well, we'll soon find out.
Yeah, Saturdays maybe.
Why does she not speak before noon?
Because she's preserving her amazing voice.
Oh,
she has got a great voice, Lulu.
Yeah.
I can't. There's a story about Lulu which I can't tell because it's got swear. I could cut the swearing out, I think.
Why don't you?
So I did Lulu. Lulu did one of those audience with Lulus. And I came on dressed as Lulu in the 60s with the wig and everything. Oh. As a jokey
we didn't
thing.
Know.
Did she recognise herself?
I think she did, yeah. She laughed.
Did you have the patent boots?
I can't remember now, but I had the fringe, you know, the redhead fringe and a big stuck-on flower on the... I think it was based on an actual thing she wore. Anyway, on the Monday, I got... a call. Mm. I didn't recognise the number, and I said, she said, oh, is that Frank? And I said, she said, it's Lulu. She said, Frank, I just wanted to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. It's such a pleasure. And I could hear a bit of a noise in the background. And it was such a pleasure. I'm on that something phone! And can I just say it? And it was like a real broad glass. I'm on the phone! but with a bit of swearing in it. And I thought, good old Lulu. Still got the voice. Of course, it was 12:02 she called me. No, I think actors do it as well. And let's face it, they don't do much. But...
Wow.
I think that, yeah. I mean, when they're working in the evenings, I mean.
They preserve the voice.
Yeah, they. I think they often don't.
Do you do it when you have one of your gigs, one of your little gigs?
No.
Ideal to get a job at Disneyland inside one of the suits.
Oh, yeah.
Completely silent.
There you go again, there's children listening.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, if that happened,
if that ever happened,
I'd tell you it would be at home.
You know what's less frightening? A giant rat that runs a castle and dangerous rides. And
Why do they make... I don't like those rides.
I went on Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
And I don't normally do the, you know, the
How
scary ones.
How did you find
ones.
It?
Why does everyone hold their hands in the air? What's that about?
Oh, I can't bear it.
Because they just don't care.
Okay.
Well, is it to show how daring they are?
I don't know. It's like, look, no hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was on it, there was a bit where we were going, you go into utter darkness, and all you can hear is the really loud rattling of the thing on the rails and screaming.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, I don't know why people like this.
I don't either.
But you know, it's very popular. My nephew, who's 8 nearly, he just goes on all the very most dangerous rides and then comes off like he's just been on a roundabout at the local playground. It's unbelievable.
He doesn't feel fear.
Nothing.
Interesting.
Nothing.
He just have his hands neatly in his lap in the photo.
It's not the most terrifying ride I went on. I once went on a big wheel in Paris, just in Paris, with a woman I was going out with, and we had a terrible row on the wheel. I mean, a massive... And that was a horrendous ride.
Is that the worst, most frightening ride you've ever been on?
Well, I tell you what, I wish I'd bought that photo at the end, because there was a photo, there's all these photos of people looking happy, and then me and her, and obviously we didn't buy it, but now, I wish, that would be framed on my wall.
On a keychain.
Because that's what the relationship was, and it was there summed up beautifully. I tell you what struck me about... Disney, I don't know what it's called. Is it called Disneyland Paris or Euro Disney?
I think it's Disneyland, comma Paris these days.
Okay, well, you couldn't get the classic plain black ears.
Really?
You know, the sort of...
What do you mean? Do they not have any ears?
You know
ears
the hair
now?
Slide you get? I bought the whole family ears.
The LBEs, little
we were
black
one
ears
of those families, as somebody said to me. We all had ears. But like my brother-in-law was, I think, Lilo... from Lilo and Stitch.
I love that for him.
And stuff.
One of the country's four leading playwrights.
Kath was Simba. But I could not get just the plain black ears. Now, they've got the wizard hat from...
Were they all themed around a specific film or character?
You want the classic plain black ears.
All right, that's... calm down. We've all had a drink.
I felt like, you know, when the old Volkswagen the Beetle went. Felt like that. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. Text the show on 81215. We are live today, so you can do that. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Ben Harrington, Frank, has got in touch.
What, the jacket manufacturer?
Oh, I love a Harrington. Who's your classic, if you think of a Harrington wearer, who do you think of? I mean, James Dean was in that seat for a long time, but I believe young people have no clue who he is. So,
James Dean?
What, the red Harrington?
Yeah,
from,
I think of him as the classic Harrington wearer.
Ooh, I didn't even realise that was a Harrington. I think of them as black with the tartan inner collar.
Yeah. Okay.
I think mainly Willie. It was a mate of mine who always wore one.
Yeah. Yeah. As we've already established on this show, he would have only had one coat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy in the Harrington.
Yeah, there you go. That's a constant reference.
People
point
didn't have more than one coat. Hello, peep, says Ben Harrington. Oh.
Okay.
On a school trip to Alton Towers in the 90s, my teenage twin brother Dan was once quite abusive to some Disney dress characters, resulting in Goofy putting him in a headlock. He's now an accountant. That's all, Ben Harrington.
It's a great potted biog.
What I love sometimes...
Do you think Goofy took him onto the straight and narrow?
I'm going to call that email the power of what's not included.
Yes,
there's so
exactly
much connecting tissue that we don't have there, which is why I love it.
What now,
that
did is very Goofy fun whisper to Dan in that headlock?
I love Goofy.
Right, pay attention. You're going to become an accountant.
Take it real slow.
You need to sort out your life. Thanks, Goofy.
Just
I would go back and see Goofy and say thanks, Goofy, for helping me. I met you in Florida. And then Goofy says, sacre bleu! What is this?
I like if Goofy stayed in character and went a little bit West Ham on him. Like, you want to get sucked in? You want to get involved?
Yeah.
Oh, Goofy.
You want some? You want some, huh? I'll give you some.
Goofy got... You know what Goofy was? A little bit naughty.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. See a dog, Goofy?
Well, come on, Frank. Yeah. We don't have time to debate this. This was one of the great debates. No one knows.
Pete was the one that...
No, so is Goofy a bit of a debate.
I think Goofy is a dog, but he's a dog in a suit who does menial work and clothing.
Well, I hate to break it to you. They're all in a suit, mate.
I don't know, Pluto isn't. Pluto is a dog.
Yes.
And owned by a mouse that's larger than him.
The mouse isn't.
Anyway.
It's a absurdist world. You can see why the French have gone in for it.
Yeah, I like it, though.
It makes a mockery of nature.
I like seeing the characters. I saw the bad guy. Who's the bad guy from
Jafar.
Yeah, so Jafar was walking along, storming along the in character through Euro Disney, and this girl went up to ask for a photo, and he just shoved her away in character.
Do you know that's a good job?
Yeah, that was great.
That's great.
It's probably Slash.
That's the kind
Slash's
of...
Slash's weekend job.
That's the role you want, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, rude character.
You don't want to be the nice lady with the birds around you saying, oh!
Well, I'm looking for a new job. And so, I saw...
Join the club, love.
I saw a nice little job this week come up, which is tour guide.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to fight me for this one.
On a Harry Styles tour.
Yes, but not just any Harry Styles tour. In his home tiny village.
In his home village, and you look at interesting sights that were relevant. A bit like, you know, when I slept in Dylan Thomas's bedroom the other week, and Pierre slept in the room he was born, it's that kind of... I mean, they need to get the house...
in order.
Commercialised.
So they say, this house is exactly as it would have been in 2005.
Exactly.
The internet's not great. And
Doctor Who's back.
There's not a smart TV. There's no Netflix. There is Sky, though.
Yeah. And young girls going, oh, how did they live?
And they're using the first generation iPhone.
Oh, wow.
There's a Nokia charger in the wall.
Yeah.
And the landline is used. And people are throwing up. They're horrified.
Yeah. And Googling landline.
Yeah. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. So we're talking about a job which the three of us are fighting for.
Yes.
Which is tour guide around the area where the Styles lad grew up.
Yes.
It's a Cheshire village, isn't it? Which is called Holmes Chapel. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are so many fans there because there's the bakery he worked in.
Can I just say on the subject of fans, I was a bit disappointed to learn. Mm. You know, you get Beliebers and stuff like that for Justin Bieber. The fans of Harry Styles are called Harrys.
Oh, come on.
That's rubbish.
They Harry's? Must have something better than that.
Yes. So... 8, 12, 15, what would be a better name for Harry Styles fans than Harry's?
Harry sounds like a sort of pre-war kind of...
It's just Harry's. It's just
there's a bunch of Harry's down there.
I put no thought into it at all. No. Style Council. I don't know. St. Simeon Stylites.
Why are you bringing all your saints into this?
People who love Harry Styles so much they sit on top of a big pillar and refuse to come down.
Saint Simeon Stylites, in order to pray and meditate correctly, lived on top of a 50-foot column for 30 years.
Like David Blaine.
Yeah, but with the soul...
Yeah.
So you get on the tour. The examples of where they tour are the Mandeville Bakery?
I believe
where Styles had a Saturday job.
A Saturday job, lovely, yeah.
Yeah. And the bridge where Styles had his first kiss.
Well, yeah, they say there's a lot to unpack here. They have the Harry Styles wall, and they say it's actually a viaduct.
Twemlow
viaduct.
I'm going to go into further details. It's a 23-arch viaduct, the Harry Styles wall. How much kissing did this boy do? Wow. A lot, I'm guessing.
I'll see you at Arch 7.
No, Linda's in Arch 7. Better make it 10.
Yeah.
He must have just gone from arch to arch kissing them.
Do you think he leaned round the sort of corner of the arch saying... Everyone, I will get to all of you.
Yes. Except you're
be
just...
Be patient.
Be patient, please.
All of your kisses are important to us here.
I don't remember my first kiss, do you? Is that a thing that people remember?
Oh, I remember mine.
Do you want to share?
Okay.
Was it a Twemlow viaduct?
No. Oh, no, there there was that one as well. I just want to check with you off air what we think about this.
Okay.
There are some aspects of it to check with. No, it's all fine. It was very innocent.
Let's call it your first similar age kiss.
First similar age kiss. Sounds good. He was a lovely boy, actually. He was a charming boy. And it was in the garden of a friend's house in Hampstead, not far from where you live now, Frank.
Okay.
He was charming. Mm. And he went to Westminster. I do remember that about him.
Wow.
And I had a real crush on him, but I didn't really know what to do.
How old would you be?
That's what we'll discuss off air.
Okay. And I think you can say. We were all young and innocent once. Yeah, I mean, mine was very much spoilt by the fact that I was wearing a gas mask.
Did you have a Mickey Mouse one?
I'd love a Mickey Mouse. That would have been great for the war. He was around then, wasn't he?
He was. Pretty,
they
was
had Mickey Mouse gas masks.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. I believe my mother might have had one. They did it to make it nice for the children.
Oh, right. We got a Pete one from Lidl. Actually, Lidl's German, isn't it?
Yeah, they were.
No, I'm not trusting theirs. Frank Skinner.
We're getting other people's first kisses. I told you a bit about mine. Lovely chap called Nick. And Pierre has been Googling his family whilst we've been...
Can we say for anyone who
Nick's
was anxious...
Family, not my family.
Emily was very reticent, but there's only a 2-year age difference. Don't panic anyone at home.
I know. No.
My first one was, you know that thing where sometimes, I don't even know who would do this, but someone organises a sort of disco for people who are under 16, and people go. I have no idea if that's a sort of government initiative or some sort of local attempt to keep everyone under control. But one of those was put on,
right?
And I went to that. And
where was this?
This is on the Isle of Man, yeah.
Right.
And I went to one of those, and I had my first kiss on the dance floor with a red-headed girl who had to really, really, really kick my thigh to get my attention.
Oh. I thought she was climbing you for the kiss.
But crampons.
She kicked you?
I think she had been trying to get my attention and I was just completely oblivious, obviously. So she's really full on.
Oh,
like,
so you weren't dancing with her?
I don't know.
Okay. Deliberately.
I don't know.
So
I was oblivious.
How did you go from her kicking you to passionate embrace?
Well, I just felt someone.
It's like Wordle. It's like Wordle. You only have to change two letters and she's kissing you.
I think maybe
passionate embrace now.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. No, I didn't say passionate embrace. You're leading the witness.
Okay, I thought you did.
No, sorry. But I sort of turned around because I presumed that the person who had powerfully kicked me in the side of the leg was a man who wanted to fight me or something.
Yeah,
it turned out it was a lady.
It was a lady.
Who wanted to kiss you. Was it just the one kiss? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't deal with any more kung fu moves to any more kisses after that.
I don't really have a... we played a kiss chase a lot at school. You aware of kiss chase?
Yes.
So you'd cast... chase someone, and it's a bit like Tick, but instead you'd catch them.
It's a bit problematic these days.
You would chase the girls and catch them and kiss them, and that was kiss chase. I think they were willing participants. So my memories are more sporting than emotional. It was a game.
Well, in many ways.
And it developed into a more physical game later called British Bull Snog.
Oh, I don't like that.
There was already a game called British Bulldog where you had to stop someone running from one side of the playground to the other. And so the girls or the boys, whoever turn it was line up and then you'd have to grab them and then kiss them. Mm. It's a long time ago.
As they tried to sort of flee past you to the other side of the playground.
But they were, like I say, they were taking part. They lined up for the game.
Sure. Mm.
But who knows what the social pressures were. I've seen Barbie. I know how the world's made. This is Frank Skinner.
This is Absolute Radio. We should say as well, Frank, can we share that off air... We've been discussing how
we've been having an off-air.
We have. Do you want to say what it is, Frank?
We should that be a term, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's too late now to come up with regularly usable formats. Radio terms.
What a waste.
It's too late for a template, mate. You need a one off. Yes, we were talking about the move. This is our last show from Golden Square, where we've been for 15 years, and we move into the luxurious surroundings of a building called The Lantern.
For five nights only.
It's not that far away, but it's one of those, it's the longest journey you'll ever make.
It feels like a lifetime away.
It is lovely.
You know, it's like I believe they said in the film Jerry Maguire, when she looks back longingly into First Class. It's not just a different class, it's a different life.
Yeah,
That's what I feel about The Lantern, if I'm honest.
It does feel like that.
We were enjoying being a bit chaotic here in Golden Square, and the idea was that we'd move to The Lantern and there'd be a sort of tyrannical, like a Miss Trunchbull figure or something. I don't know how you used to do things at Golden Square, but here at The Lantern we run rather a tighter ship.
We do things very differently here at The Lantern. That won't be tolerated in quite the same way at The Lantern.
I do hope you can adjust to our standards in your short time here with us.
Oh, what a
sort of icy maitre d'.
I'm viewing the lantern figure, the mythical lantern figure, more of a sort of the butler in Saltburn.
I haven't seen Saltburn, I understand.
Well, you don't need to.
No.
Because it's quite a big character.
It's a bit rude, isn't it? A bit rude.
Thanks. It's all like Coronation Street.
Nowadays, I honestly fast forward.
Okay, I'm telling you what I would say. It's a bit of a trope, that character. Let's say Mrs. Danvers.
Yes, okay. Yes.
That's how I'm seeing our lantern figure.
Definitely. Yeah, well,
okay.
Standing at the top of the stairs, silhouetted as we come in,
jangling keys.
Well, I went. I just went to the toilet here, and most of this building now, Golden Square, is closed. The top. I think we're the only floor open, this and the ground floor.
Mm.
So I went to the one toilet, and one of the bulbs has gone in there, but they haven't changed. It was like being in a Beckett play. I thought, this is just perfect for the ending. Old man in a badly lit room.
There's a real Indiana Jones vibe where, as we're leaving, the sort of temple is crumbling behind us. Big boulders rolling down corridors.
Anyway, we have got a job opportunity, and that is the Harry Styles tour guide.
Yes.
Now, what about, we've had 597 has got in touch regarding sort of names for fans.
Yes, because we were saying, in case you've just switched on, thanks for that, catch us while you can.
We don't tolerate lateness at the Lantern. Sorry, 597.
Yeah, because Harry Styles fans, rather tragically, are known as Harrys.
Yeah,
well, what a meeting that was.
I mean, the Simon of Sudbury.
That was a group of young women thinking, let's decide the names of our fandom. But the can just say that the bubble tea shop does close in 10 minutes. What about Harry's? Come on, off they went.
So, Simon of Sudbury, one of our regulars.
Yes.
He says, perhaps it would be a great name for a bathroom fitter, but he suggested Harry's Tiles.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, you don't like that.
Well, I can't see why they're
you
tiles.
Hate that.
What about stylists?
Stylists would be good. Many of them will grow to be that.
Yes. 220 has said super stylies.
Super stylish.
I find you two very critical.
Mm. Yes, well, this is our living here. Wordplay. super stylish. I'm feeling there's one there that we're not getting.
740 stylistics.
Yes, that's quite good. And
okay.
That was an old.
And
vocal
then we
group.
Had 164 Harry Files. Harry Files.
Oh yeah.
That's Rob from York.
It rhymes.
Mm. It is.
Kind of works.
I find it a little unsettling.
Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
Peter Sheridan has got in touch. In the manner of one of your colleagues at...
It's a bit of an afterthought. I'm thinking the initials.
I don't know. P.S. Lovely. In the manner of one of your colleagues at West Brom has said, is you still here?
All right.
Which is a bit, sit down, we've seen you.
It is a bit, yeah. We are still here. I said, I think we've got 5 more weeks after this.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah. 5 more weeks. 5 more weeks to go. I would have thought back...
5 more weeks to go. Wait, Frank, I would put that in the category of things you sing to yourself. Not necessarily.
Sorry,
on
I thought I had
5 more weeks to go.
Maybe we should do the last 20 minutes of the show just in the style of 10 green bottles. So,
they won't put up with that sort of thing at the Lent.
No. Simon of Sodbury has pointed out, yeah, I didn't really mean it as a name for Harry's fans. Oh, he's getting a bit... We've lost the dressing room. We've lost Sudbury.
Oh, no, they're turning against us.
He's really turned. He's angry with me. I'm sorry, Simon. I was going a bit off-piste. You could have stylistics to be a bit retro. I'm sorry, Simon of Sudbury. We've come so
Maybe
far.
Maybe it's better for everyone if we slowly alienate our audience as we fade away. Yes, when we leave them...
Not... All the regulars one by one.
Yeah, exactly. We need a downward ramp.
We're making it easier for them.
Exactly. They won't realise that till many years
It's like
later.
Those people who passively aggressively break up with you by just becoming increasingly difficult and impossible.
Yes.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
To do incredibly complex text-ins.
By the way, I had to look at some of the graffiti on Harry's wall, as it's called.
What was it like, the
viaduct?
Because he graffitied on it originally, Frank.
He did, yes. And then the local council pointed out it was illegal because it's a listed viaduct. So it doesn't seem to be any move to arrest Harold Styles for it. Yeah. So I assume he'd be called in court. but some of the large, when the picture I looked at, the graffiti included, "You are our Stevie Nicks."
Oh.
Which I thought, really? Whose?
That's an odd.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have quite gone equivalent.
No, I wouldn't.
Those two. No. Stevie Nicks.
Turns out Stevie Nicks is the brand name of the underwear vending machine in Blackpool. Not really.
With the eggs, the nylon eggs.
So what's the name of the place? Holmes Chapel.
Yes.
Is that they've said that the tour would include history of Holmes Chapel. So what they're trying to do is get a bunch of teenage girls who just want to hear about Harold and then bombard them with, like, local...
Of course, it does appear in the Doomsday Book.
Exactly.
All these teenage girls checking their phone time.
It'll be like feminism on Barbie, delivered in a lovely pink case.
Some friends of mine once saw the band Weezer.
Oh, yeah.
Who obviously did Teenage Dirtbag.
That's Frank and Kathy's song.
Yeah. Well, obviously everyone in the crowd wanted to go and see Weezer and hear Teenage Dirtbag and go home. But they knew that, and they really left it to the end.
Oh, quite
And they
right.
would play the intro to one of their other songs that sounded a lot like Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah.
And everyone would get excited, and they'd go, no, it's another one.
They did Jazz Odyssey first.
You brilliant. Yeah. And so that's going to have to happen at the Holmes Chapel History Tour, because they'd say, and of course the Norman Lord of the Manor was part of the rebellion with Simon de Montfort.
Yeah.
And do you know who else was quite rebellious? That's right, a local weaver who decided...
Damn you!
Because the obvious choice to do the tour is one of the other guys from One Direction, isn't it? They're all kicking their heels playing Candy Crush Saga.
In our gang.
What an accusation.
072, quickly, this is good. Harry Styles fans should be named after the sweets. Harry Bowes.
Harry Bowes.
I think 072 has nailed it.
Yes.
Okay.
So, look, that's it for this week.
And from this building.
Okay. Oh, and for this building, yeah, to hell with this building. What happened to my no delete guarantee? Anyway, I'd be happy to discover it had burnt to ashes.
Frank! Oh, Oh my God.
Not with anyone in it.
Oh,
I mean, empty.
God.
Empty, I'm saying. What if it burns down now? First phone call from the police. No, look, it's been 15 fantastic years in Golden Square, but obviously it's not quite the farewell we. We thought it'd be farewell, lowercase f. anyway, Sarah Champion's up next. Do listen to Sarah. We still love her and our colleagues, obviously. Mm. And wish them well at the Lantern, where we will be delivering from next week.
Will you?
Yeah. I believe it's known as the Swinging Lantern locally.
Oh, I don't want to get involved in that.
No,
I
wish too late for me. But, yeah, good to know. So, look, if the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now get out. This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.